Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad that you could join us this day. Today we're going to be reflecting upon the sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. But I also want to highlight something that's happening. You might see some wonderful children over there who are joining us in singing. This is something we're going to be trying this year on the fifth Sundays. The next fifth Sunday is going to be in June. And so if you are a child or you have a child who you think would enjoy singing with part of the praise band, then I invite you to talk to Laura Falls. Thank you. I was forgetting your last name. I'm like, it's Miss Laura. No, anyway. Laura Falls. Our music director for that opportunity. But otherwise, I invite you to stand as we begin our service, as we always do, remembering who we belong to, beginning our service in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come into your presence today with the grateful thanksgiving, Lord, for all that you have done for us, Lord. We are weak, and you are strong. We are sinful, and you have the solution. Your incredible grace and love and forgiveness that you earned for us on the cross. Lord, I pray that you would help us to better remember and understand the depth and richness of this forgiveness, Lord, that leads to our salvation. Thank you for all these things, Lord, in your holy name. Amen. Let us confess our sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's return praise to the God who has forgiven us again.
Glory. It's all because of the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raised this dead man's life. And it's all because of Jesus. And it's all because of Jesus I'm alive. And it's all because the blood of Jesus Christ that covers me and raised this dead man's life. And it's all because of Jesus I'm
My name is Kevin Chegg. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first reading is from Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, is that for me? Thank you. Good morning, everybody. How are you today? It's so good to see each and every one of you here. Well, I have a little bit of, I need a little help with something. Do you think you could help me? So I have some pictures here, and I'm going to show them to you. And what I'd like for you to do is tell me, these are a set of rules, okay? Who knows what rules are? We all have them, right? So I want you to tell me how these rules help you to be kind to other people. Does that sound good? All right. So here's the first one. Listen, how does this help you be kind to other people? Yeah, if you're a good listener, or say you're even in class and the teacher's talking and you're listening, you're helping others people listen too, right? Okay, here's the next thing. Raise your hand. How does this help you be kind to other people? What do you think? Yeah, it might help you like to take a turn or share a turn. Is that what you were going to say too? Very good. What were you going to say? Yeah, then you're giving people an opportunity to speak and taking... Oh, thank you, Catherine. Here's the next one. It says, keep your hands to yourself. How does that help you be kind to other people? Chelsea. Yeah, you won't share your germs. What were you going to say, Liam? You forgot. Zoe, did you have one? Sometimes people don't like to be touched, so you're being kind to others, right? Taking turns. What do you think? How does that help you be kind to someone? You guys are good at these. Yeah, let someone else go first. And here's one of my, oh, I have two more. Here's one, say please and thank you. How does that help you be kind to other people? Oh, it does make them happy when you say nice words. You know what? This one says cover your mouth, but I heard someone say germs, so I figured that was good. And then my last one that's right here, it says share. How does that help you be kind to other people? I'm going to give someone else a turn. I'm just going to see if anyone raised their hand. Okay, go ahead. Right, to take turns. Well, you guys are very good at knowing rules and how to be kind to each other. Did you know that God wants us to be kind and caring to people we know, right? So God has given us some great gifts. He's given us teachers and friends and family that we can be kind and caring and love. Tell me this, has anyone ever not been kind to you before? Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear that. Well, maybe you've had someone not be nice to you, or maybe you've accidentally not been nice to someone else, and it doesn't always feel very good, does it? But guess what? God has given us an incredible gift. Hey, I have a question for you. In the Bible, God gives us some rules. Do you remember what they're called? We've been talking a lot about them lately. Ooh, that's one. What are those called? The 10 commandments, and we've been talking a lot about that. And you know what's such a blessing is that when God wants us to do something, he tells us how, and he gave us the gift of the 10 commandments. Now I want everyone to point to the cross, because he's given us another special gift. He has given us the gift of his son Jesus, and we're thinking a lot about that right now, because we are in the season of Lent, and soon we'll get to celebrate Easter, where we celebrate that Jesus rose from the grave and has forgiven all of our sins. So this is a very special time, and we're so blessed that God gives us so many people to love and care for in our families and in our schools and everywhere else too. So can you pray with me? Then I just have a little something for you if you'd like. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for the gift of the Ten Commandments and all of the things that they teach us. Please help us to love one another and take care of our family and our friends. In your name we pray, amen. Now, maybe I have a scripture card to pass out if you would like one. And Catherine, could you read this for me? That one.
Love one another. Love each other. Just as I have loved you. You should love each other. John 13:34.
Thank you. So if you would like one of these cards, you can see Mrs. James, and then you can give them to your parents, and you can keep them in your room and wherever you'd like.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It usually starts small. So small you might miss exactly how significant it really is. But she wants to tell him all about the wonderful day that she's had, but he's too busy lost in his own thoughts to listen to a single word she's saying. Or he comes home ready to help, but she's had the worst day of her life, and every little thing that he fails to do, she snaps at him. Or it's the end of the day, and all she could really use is just a little help with the kids to get them in bed and get everything done for the night. But the game's on, so he's already taught to her how important the game is. Oh, they fall. No, you're not supposed to fall yet. Or they've talked and talked about how important it can be to be on the same page with things, and yet he goes his way and she goes her way. And it's not just these small little hurts that add up, but of course then it's the reactions to those hurts, the anger that comes. That's fine, they're just going to fall. The silent treatment. The avoidance of meaningful conversation, and on and on and on, everything piles up and builds. And by the time you might have in a very hurt and broken and frayed relationship, when adultery would finally be introduced, all too often it's more of a manifestation of an underlying problem than the initial inciting incident. And it's not just adultery that is the final show of the dynamics between a husband and wife. No, it could just be, well, it's a bit like two people in a three-legged race, but instead of going in the same direction, they are going strongly in opposite directions, and they're more causing a pulling, a more difficult getting where they think they want to go. And that's not how God designed marriage to be. For in the beginning, before Adam and Eve even sinned, God had brought two together. And it says, therefore, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined together to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And this is a profound mystery, talking more than just physical intimacy. But how beautiful it can be when you have two separate individuals and yet united they stand on all things and they go the same direction. Can you imagine the things that they can build together? But of course there's brokenness. And there's hurts and there's pains, and you remember every single one and you hold it to your chest, each digging a deeper and deeper and deeper hole. No, again, what God had established was beautiful and marvelous. Paul describes it in this way, under the heading of mutual submission. Brothers, submit to one another out of love. And then he says, wives to your husbands. And then from there he goes on to say, husbands, I have something important for you to hear. Now, in our current culture, we might fall into the temptation to say, well, he addresses the woman first, so therefore she's the one in greater need of addressing. But the reality is that in that day and age, the woman wouldn't be addressed at all. No, instead you'd address the head of the household, the man of the house, and you would say, this is how you are to keep your family in line. In fact, I don't remember if it was Aristotle or if it was Plato, but one of them wrote a whole thing on how, for the good of the state, a husband, a father must keep his household in order, and this is what it'll look like. And Paul does an astounding thing by saying, let me address the wives first, who normally are not addressed at all, not given that decency. And he says, wives, submit to your husbands. Now, husbands, you have to die for the sake of your wife. And he goes on to say how the dynamics between Christ and his church are so profound. For Christ looked at his church, looked at his bride, the church. And he didn't say, all right, you got to clean up your act because I'm perfect. And therefore, for this reason, you have to be perfect. You got to shape up. But rather, he looked at his bride, the church, and said, I love you. And Paul goes on to talk about how he took his bride, the church, and cleansed her of her impurities. How he died for her sake. And Paul goes on to, again, end with this profound thing where a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And this, then, is God's design for marriage. But the problem is our sin. And the greatest manifestation of it, rather, the greatest pronouncement of it, rather, is our pride. In my pride, I am blinded to the needs of my spouse, so worried about what is on my mind, what I care about, that I miss everything going on with her. Or in my pride, I don't like the way that I have been treated. I don't like what I have been on the receiving end of my neglect, receiving of anger. And so my pride lashes out. How dare you respond to me in this way? How dare you treat me this way? And more dominoes fall. And if all you act in what could be and should be the most profound relationship of your life is only in a state of pride, in a state of my way, then everything will collapse. But it doesn't have to be this way. Last Sunday, I had the honor of going through the new member class, actually, and the topic that we talked about as we go through Luther's Catechism is, at this point then, it was confession and absolution, and how critical this is in the life of a Christian, really in the life of anyone, but a Christian understanding their place before God and how it is that God has redeemed them understands the dynamics. Because to acknowledge genuinely your sin and your guilt and what you have done wrong and hurt another is the death of pride. Because pride doesn't want to share the truth. Consider at the fall where Adam and Eve both eat of the fruit, and God comes and says, what have you done? And Adam's pride says, well, don't blame me, all right? This woman whom you put right here is one of your faults. I don't care. Take your pick. But don't hold me accountable for what I've done wrong. And Adam wanted to preserve his pride. And the woman in the same way said, well, the serpent deceived me, and then I ate. Blame this creature. If this creature hadn't been there, God, which you created him too, by the way, I never would have disobeyed you. Our pride always wants to deflect, always wants to be preserved, always wants to be retained, never wants to acknowledge the wrong that you have done. But you have. And the sad part is the individual you are most likely to hurt is the one to whom you should be closest to. The one whom God has brought you together with. But an astounding thing can happen when you acknowledge your guilt and confess, I have done wrong, in genuine communication of that. And the other person genuinely absolves you, that is, genuinely forgives you for what you have done. Amazing things can happen. And when they in turn also confess what they have done wrong to you, they admit, I have done wrong, and they are in need of forgiveness, and you forgive them what they have done. Well, more amazing things can happen. And this as well is a gift from God. Matthew 18 is a whole chapter talking about the importance of forgiveness of sins, where it talks about a parable that Jesus shares about a man who was forgiven lifetimes worth of debt. But then that man doesn't really live in the reality which has been poured out to him, and finds someone who owes him a couple $100 and says, you will pay me back what you owe me. And Jesus is trying to put on the mindset of his disciples and anyone who might hear, the reality of it is that what another human has done to you is a relatively small sum compared to the vast debt, the many ways which you have failed to live and which God has called you to do. But it's important to note that this act of confessing, in addition to being difficult because it's a death of your own pride and you won't want to do it, is also hard because for the dynamics of the relationship to truly function, both parties need to do it. And you cannot, by coercion, by manipulation, by any other means, get someone else to do what they don't want to do. But it requires both people to mutually submit to each other and to say, this is what we're going for. But again, as you confess your sins and you're honest and you forgive, and as they confess their sins and they're honest and they forgive, amazing things by the grace of God can happen. And so this is the picture of what God desires for marriage. That two separate individuals would be joined together. And oh my goodness, the house that can be built when that is the dynamic at play. When he says, I'm going to put your needs and your desires above my own. And when she says, I'm going to submit to where you are leading us. When they together are going in a unified direction instead of jostling for this position or that position in a completely opposite direction and pulling and tethering until everything snaps. It's beautiful. And it's wonderful. But it requires both people to see it and to believe it and to do it. So my encouragement for you this day as you reflect upon the most profound of relationships that you have is look to what you have contributed to the dynamics between you and the other. And be honest. Set your pride aside and say, is there place for me to confess my wrong? To share what I have done that has strained and frayed and marred this dynamic. And as confession is given, genuinely forgive. Forgiving is not forgetting, but rather forgiveness is remembering differently. Because the hurt still happened, but you remember that you are not holding them accountable for the hurt for which they have done to you. But again, this is hard. And again, this is an opportunity as you fall short of the mark in which God calls you to once again come before God. Say, God, I have sinned. I have failed my spouse. I want to do better. Please forgive me. And God, who gives the gift of the Holy Spirit, can help you in that endeavor. May you take seriously the dynamics between you and your spouse if you are married. May you take seriously the importance of the two of you going in the same direction, unified as one as God has designed it to be. And may you hold up the needs of the other even above your own. Amen.
Yeah.
My friends, let us stand as we confess our faith. And we're going to use the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, please be seated. At this time, this is our fifth Sunday, and so we're going to be having our prayer and care portion of the service today. It's one of my favorite things we do here at St. Mark's. I absolutely love it because there is nothing more right than the family of God supporting the family of God by bringing their concerns to God in prayer. And so those of you who are chosen to pray today, come on forward. Kevin Shagg and Debbie Armbruster are going to be in the prayer chapel if anybody would prefer to pray in there rather than up front with the rest of us. And so with that, let us begin.
Just be held.
sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege you carry, everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in trials and temptations. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful? The Lord in precious Jesus, Lord and friend, I give everything to you. Shelter, shepherd, Savior, King, I give everything to you. Are we weak and heavy laden? The load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer.
I absolutely love the prayer and care times. It's just absolutely so sweet. Incidentally, if you're interested in being one of the people up front praying and you haven't been asked, most likely it's because we don't know you're willing. So if you are wanting to do this, I would encourage you, talk to Steve Mangrum. Where is he? He's one of our elders. If you don't know him, I'll point him out to you. You can come find me and I'll make sure you find him, okay? All right, he is, but anyway, he's the one that does a lot of the asking, and so that would be great. All right, with that then, let us come before our Father in heaven by praying. A couple of things before we stand up. A few things we want to pray for in specific. Josh and Gretchen Landgraf were united in holy marriage yesterday by God himself, and that was an amazing thing. Also, we have a daughter of our congregation who's really, she is pregnant, and then had some kind of scary medical stuff happen. And it was rather tense for a while. She's home now, right? Yeah, and she's home now, but she's still undergoing treatment, and we want to just continue to hold her in our prayer. Her name's Courtney Grisham, or actually Weems now. We knew her as Courtney Grisham, but now it's Courtney Weems, and she is, so just keep her in your prayers as well as she continues her pregnancy. Please stand as we come before our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much that you have given us, Lord, this incredible gift of marriage. Lord, such an amazing thing, the foundation for the families, Lord, the foundation for the raising of the children, Lord, all based on you and your grace, all based on you and the forgiveness, Lord, that you have given us and the forgiveness that we show each other, Lord. Nobody walks into marriage perfect. Nobody actually performs in marriage perfectly, Lord, but the marriage continues because we can show each other grace and love. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do this faithfully, Lord, so that our marriages can continue to be strong as we sacrificially love one another, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would be with Josh and Gretchen, Lord, as they begin their life together. I pray that you would continue to strengthen them. Lord, help them to grow in a relationship with you as they together, Lord, as they grow in their relationship with each other, Lord. Continue to bless them. Thank you, Lord, for the strong family that you have placed around them, Lord, and the faith that they have lived in since childhood. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with our Courtney, Lord. Help her, Lord, to remain strong. Help her to be healthy, Lord. And help that little one that's inside her, Lord, be born healthy as well. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with her and give her everything that she needs as she goes forward so that she can continue to serve you by loving the people around her. Lord, we pray that you would be with all the children of our congregation. Help them, Lord, to grow ever more in their knowledge and trust in you so that they can have peace at all times and in all circumstances with a faith that is ever growing. Lord, all these things we bring before you today, and we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Come meet this mommy. Before you silence the bones of sin.
Now, once again, our God has met us here with everything that we need, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. As we have received his very body and blood and the promised forgiveness of sins in this gift, depart in his peace, in joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together.
Days may be darkest, but your light is greater. You light our way, God, you light our way. When evil is rising, you're rising higher with power to save, with power to save. You keep hope alive. You keep hope alive from the beginning to end. Your word never fails. You keep hope alive because you are alive. Jesus, you are alive. Death had a stronghold, but your life was stronger. Rose from the grave, rose up from the grave. Yeah, yeah. When evil is rising, you're rising higher with power to save, with power to save. Oh, oh, oh.
From the beginning to where you're
to head. Your word never fails. You keep hope alive because you are alive. Jesus, you are alive.
Please be seated. We worship an amazing God, and it is wonderful to give him praise and thanksgiving. Sunday school kids, if you guys want to head out now, Miss Lauren is in the back, and she will take you off to Sunday school. The rest of you stick around for Bible study, new member class. Josh is going to be teaching that out in the conference room. Let's see here now. Oh, we'll have an elder in the prayer chapel after the service in case anybody still wishes individual prayer. And pickleball. We have a change. We have pickleball here at St. Mark's now. We've been meeting on Saturdays, but we're changing it to Sundays. So on the 6th, April 6th, we're going to be changing it to Sunday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. In the gym. So come on over and play. You won't look bad. Anyway, whatever. I'll be there to help you out. All right, it'll be great. All right, anyway, and the other thing is that we have another fellowship opportunity also that the men meet on Tuesday night at what time again?
Study starts at 7, but I'm in there at 6:30 in the youth
room. Okay, so Jake is there, so you can start gathering at 6:30. Men's Bible study starts at 7, followed by basketball in the gym. I won't be there for that. That's not a thing I'm doing. I won't embarrass myself that badly. Anyway, then the other thing is National Youth Gathering is going to meet at noon. National Youth Gathering is for the high school students of our church. Anybody that's been confirmed and through high school, if you are interested in more information about this trip, we're going to be gathering at noon in the youth room, right? In the asylum. Okay, and that is everything I have for you today. God's blessings on your week, my friends.